We are greater than the sum of our individual ambitions, and we remain more than a collection of red states and blue states. We are and forever will be the United States of America. And together, with your help and God's grace, we will continue our journey forward and remind the world just why it is that we live in the greatest nation on earth. Thank you, America.
It comes so easily to some people, but for others, it paralyzes them with fear. I'm talking about public speaking. Why does it freak some people out so much? And can you get over it? Susanna Baum is a public speaking and presentation skills trainer, and she joins us now. Hi, Susanna.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Great. Thank you.
Have you always been good at this, or did you have to learn?
Oh, no, I don't think I was ever good at it. I was terrified at it at the beginning, many, many years that I was terrified. I didn't want to put myself anywhere near more than two people in a room and say anything. But it was once I started my career and started to realize how much I was starting to hold myself back. And it was also, it wasn't just me. It was some valued mentors and managers and even some family members who pushed me a little bit to where I was not comfortable for me to be able to start stepping out a little bit.
We always hear about how it's so good for us to step outside of our box, to put ourselves outside of our comfort zone. But I kind of wonder if it basically boils down to personality. Like, is it just something you're either born with or not?
Oh, absolutely not. No, no. I mean, certainly there are people who are born with a certain charisma and a certain talent. Like, we all have our own unique talents and our own unique brilliance. But this is a skill that can be learned, certainly can be learned. But it takes work, and it takes you to be ready to do it more than once. I mean, you can't learn based on reading a few articles online. You can't learn by watching. You can't just learn by taking a public speaking class. It really requires very consistent practice and very consistently putting yourself out there into these situations.
You know, I'm thinking of the people who immediately come to mind as being great orators. Of course, Obama. We saw the Oprah Winfrey speech the other day, and clearly they have reaped the benefits and gone on to have huge success because this is part of their skill set. But other people, like Trump, I think is the glaring example these days, not so well-spoken, not so inspiring, and yet has gone just as far. Is it the ability to connect that is the theme that sort of bonds these three unlikely people together?
I think so. I think there are certainly some speakers, like you said, like Obama, like Oprah, who really have a talent with their voice, and really the voice modulation, the enthusiasm, the passion that truly comes out. But I think a lot of the power and a lot of speakers, like you were saying, Trump, maybe is not as good a speaker as they are, but it's about connecting with your audience. It's about learning who your audience is and what they need to hear, and then speaking in a way that they need to hear. And that really is a lot more powerful than, in a lot of ways, it is more powerful than what you can do with your voice or what you do with your gestures or your body or that kind of thing. It's really speaking to what your listeners need to hear.
Okay. We're speaking with Susanna Baum. She does public speaking and presentation skills training. Let's paint the scenario. Let's make the scenario of someone who has been tasked with speaking in front of, it could just be, you know, a small group of colleagues in a room, but it's the first time that they're having to stand up in front of someone, a group of people, and make a speech. Where do you start, Susanna?
Okay, well, here's the thing. You know, when someone calls me and they say that exact scenario, I have to get in front of my boss, my colleagues, and I'm nervous. And then they'll start telling me all the reasons why they shouldn't be giving speeches, why they're that one special person in life who just doesn't have the talent and this is going to be terrible and they just want to survive and everything. So the first thing I say to them is we need to try to shift the mindset, first of all, away from how are you feeling and towards the audience. What does the audience need to hear? So we're always nervous, of course, because we don't want to look like an idiot. We don't want to make a mistake. We don't want to freeze up. We don't want any mistake we make to follow us through our career and ruin our reputation. But on the other hand, the answer is not for you to seek to be calm as a speaker. We get caught up in our nerves a lot, and we think, well, as long as if I could just control my nerves, if I could feel confident and just get the nervousness and the butterflies to all fly in formation, I'll be fine. But it's really not about trying to trick yourself into feeling calm, because your audience doesn't want a calm speaker. They want a speaker who's providing them value, a speaker who is focused and who is respecting their time and sharing information that they need to hear. So what I tell a lot of my clients, first of all, is number one, it's not about how you feel. It's really about the content that you're saying. And are you saying something that is meaningful to the audience? And the second thing is, nerves is not, it's not a bad thing to feel nervous. I mean, we feel nervous about good things too.
Sure.
We feel nervous about, you know, you're getting married, you're going on vacation.
First date,
you know, first
whatever,
date.
Yeah.
There's a lot of reasons why we may feel nervous, because we're anticipating that it's going to be a positive outcome. But then we go into our speech being nervous in the exact same ways with the sweaty palms and the butterflies, because we're expecting a negative outcome. I hope I don't mess up, look stupid. And so we need to sort of get control of the mind a little bit too, and realize that we could just as easily expect a positive outcome from the speech as we can a negative one.
I love that. And I, you know, as you're describing, I'm thinking, why are we so uptight about appearing nervous in front of people? Nervousness is actually very relatable.
Yeah.
We've all been there. We've all felt that. Do you ever, you know, I immediately also thought about that thing where you're supposed to imagine everybody naked. Do you ever tell people that, or is it more about information based?
Well, I mean, you know, that naked question always comes up. But I mean, I think to myself, if I were actually speaking to a room full of naked people, I would feel fairly distracted and probably
yeah.
even a little bit more nervous.
It'd be worse.
So a little bit worse. I mean, let's be reasonable on that. So I don't, it's a fun thing to talk about, but certainly it's not something that I suggest as the magic bullet, because there isn't really a magic bullet. It is a consistently being willing to put yourself out there, consistently be willing to do the work that is required before you put the speech together, when you're really asking yourself the question about what information do I need to get across, what does the audience need to hear, and how can I say what I need to say in a way they need to hear it.
And what's the worst thing that could happen, right? You could trip on your way to the podium, or you could, you know, be sweaty, or you could have a booger in your nose or something. But it's none of it is going to be the end of the, or freeze. I suppose that's the thing that people get most scared about, that they'll just freeze and go blank.
Yes, that they'll freeze and go blank. And then, you know what? And this is, it's a valid fear. And when I do work with my clients and they are worried about that, or even I have to bring it up sometimes, and I say, if you are afraid that you're going to freeze, then make sure you've got a one-page outline that you have somewhere in the vicinity that you could just step over, take a look, and reset yourself. Because the worst thing you could do once that moment happens that you forget what you want to say or you freeze is to start to panic. And you want to avoid that at all costs. So instead of apologizing, you know, letting the pause go on too long, you can just set up a series of backup plans that you could step over, take a look at what at your outline, and then move on.
And do you believe about that kind of like dive in and face your fears? If this is something that you've always been afraid of doing, you should kind of force yourself to do it to get over it?
I believe that people should do it, but not really for that reason. I think it's because everyone, my reason is that the more I meet people who are shy or reserved, or even the people who come to me who are not, they're very outgoing and extroverted, but they still have trouble in front of an audience because they feel like they're just sort of throwing things against a wall and nothing sticks and the audience just doesn't care and it's very boring. So whether you're nervous or whether you're a more seasoned presenter, it's the same. But now I encourage people to improve and put themselves forward in public speaking, because everyone has a unique expertise. They all come to life with some unique talent,
yeah.
something to share.
And something that
knowledge.
Other people can relate to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just Obama and Oprah who we want to hear. We want to hear from people who have their own unique perspectives on life. But the trick is, don't just get up there and tell me your unique perspective on life. Create it in a way that I see why it's relevant for me, right, as an audience member.
There you go. I like that a lot. Thank you, Susanna.
No, you're so welcome.
That is Susanna Baum. She does public speaking and presentation skills training. I like that it is not an innate skill that anybody can learn to do it.